we're doing the Holy Letters of the Rebbe, and we're doing in volume 4, and this is letter number 980. The date is Baruch Hashem, the date is the 13th day of Nisan Tovshin Yud Aleph, which is the yahrzeit of the Tzemach Tzedek, and it's in Brooklyn, New York, and the Rebbe is addressing it to the distinguished with all the titles who occupies himself in community affairs, Yochanan Sheyichye Gordon, Marie Gordon. So, he actually was the long-standing gabbai when I was growing up, when I was a kid. I mean, he passed away, again, in my early, my early teens or something like that. But when I was a kid, he was the gabbai. His name is Yochanan Gordon. The Rebbe, and he was also a shoychet, the Baidik was a shoychet. So the Rebbe says, opens up the letter again with usual shalom abracha, peace and blessing. The Rebbe says, I am looking at your occupation in many various different matters that my father-in-law has placed upon you, and I am delighted, I'm pleasure to see that you also are presently continuing in those good activities. Certainly you will increase in additional efforts, and it without a doubt that God will give you the additional strength that are necessary for this, because God does not come with unfounded to complaints to his creations. And if God expects this from us, then God gives us the abilities, so that gives us the koiches, gives us the opportunities to be able to do so. I know, and it's known, that the health of a Jewish body hinges on the Torah and mitzvahs. That when you occupy yourself in Torah and mitzvahs, it's not only that it doesn't hurt, God forbid, one's health, but actually it strengthens the health situation of the one who occupies himself in it, and also his entire family. There is a statement of our sages in Masechta Baba Kama, Tzadik Beis Amid Beis, which says, Chamra lemorra v'tivyusa l'shaki. It means that the owner owns the wine, but the thank you goes to the butler who distributes the wine. It's not his wine that he's giving out, but he's giving the owner's wine, but he gets the thank you, even though he's giving somebody else's wine. So the Tzemach Tzedek explains, the Baal HaHilula, that by those who are not really have any choices, they're only merely as a metal or an axe in the one who uses it to carve with it, and it doesn't apply the inyan, the idea of saying a thank you to the one that pours it. Which means like this, what she's saying is, you can only say thank you to the butler if the butler has a choice to give you or not to give you. So at least he gets a thank you. The wine belongs to the owner. But at least the butler has the opportunity. If he wants to give you, he'll serve you. Otherwise, he'll give it to somebody else. So at least you can tell him thank you for choosing you as the one that he's giving, because he could have given it to somebody else. Even though it's not his wine, as the wine belongs to the master. But if it's a situation in which the butler, so to speak, doesn't have a choice, he has to give it to you, you can't even tell him thank you. That's the reason the Tzemach Tzedek explains why we can't worship say thank you to the sun, to the moon. People worship because there's a lot of benefits that we get from the sun, we're allowed to get from the moon, there's other benefits that we get from them. And here lies the difference why we Jewish people are not permitted to express any recognition to any of these things that provide us good, because they're not providing it good because they don't have a choice in the matter. They're just like the axe and the one who's carving it. So you can't give thank you to the axe saying, oh, thank you, you know, you cut down the tree. The axe didn't do anything. It's just a piece of metal. It's the person that is doing it. So in those situations, it doesn't even make sense to give a thank you to the That's paganism, that's right. And that's why idol worships is prohibited, because they are merely like a axe in the hand of one who uses to carve, chisel with it. But this is my don'ts that don't have any choice. As opposed to when we talk about a Jewish person who has a choice. So therefore, you get a thank you. You get a thank you to the butler, which means even if without his interference, the other one would also do the mitzvah, and the Rebbe sends to Derech Mitzvah, which is Musa Perigimu. So, the Rebbe is basically saying to this fellow, to this individual, you are getting my thank you for the things that you're doing. Even if it's a situation, if you wouldn't have done it, like if you would not be the gabbai, if you would not be involved, let's say somebody else would have done it. But you still get a thank you because you have the good fortune that you are doing it. So the Rebbe says, goes on saying, for sure, when we talk about such a mitzvah that you are occupying yourself with, which is maimed, that tzedakah for the family of the Rebbe, mois chitim, that's money for wheat, food for the poor, for Pesach, for matzahs, also gabois in the shul of Lubavitch, also the printing. So, when we talk about heavenly matters, each person can influence his friend. So, the butler, in this case, the one who's doing, who's occupying himself, is not only an intermediary, but he also influences and he brings his friend to doing a mitzvah. So you, being in the valve, you're actually helping other people do mitzvahs. The reward is very great, especially when we talk about matters of tzedakah, which is called Maisa Tzedakah, the act of tzedakah. There is an expression that the one, Godel HaMa'aisa Yes Menoisa, that the one who sort of brings out in other people to give tzedakah is even greater than the one who gives tzedakah himself, because you bring the other people to give tzedakah. And in this case is like you're forcing people, that you are encouraging them, you're pushing them sort of to give tzedakah. As known in the saying of our sages, Maisin ala tzedakah, the Rebbe references the contrast over here in the Mimer over there. So if the one who does tzedakah, we know that our sages tell us that you eat the fruit in this world and the principle remains for the world to come. So how much more so by the person who causes other people to give tzedakah? He encourages and he sort of pushes other people to do tzedakah, that he becomes a prepared vessel to draw down and to receive the blessings of Hashem and God's promise, because God says, usually you're not allowed to test God. God says, you're not allowed to test me. However, ubechanuni no bezois, with tzedakah, you can test Hashem. You can give tzedakah on a condition that you want to see. You say, I'm going to give tzedakah because I want my son to be healthy, that he should live. Or I want to give tzedakah so I'll be successful, whatever it is. And Hashem says, test me, and you will see, if you give tzedakah on this condition, you will see that Hashem will come through to you, right? So if you say, I'm going to give tzedakah if I can rent out my house for the price I want, and you'll see that Hashem will rent out the house for you. You know, you see. You know, sometimes it happens, these things. So you actually make, you said, God, I'm going to put you to the test. And God is not only not upset at you, God says, I want you to test me. I want you to test me and see if it works in that way. So he says, and Hashem says, I will pour to you blessings to no end. And that means in the very simple meaning, children, life, health, and food in abundance, meaning sustenance in abundance.
Question.
May Hashem, yeah?
How come he sent them a letter if he sees them every day?
How come he sent them a letter and sees him any day? So the Rebbe did not communicate in the way of seeing him in shul, and you would go over and you would talk to the Rebbe. You know, on occasion, somebody an exception, but that wouldn't be the way. Now people would communicate to the Rebbe by writing, and today, like we know, I'm just going to bring this as an example from today. Again, I can't answer exactly, but that's just my estimation. It's just what I think. Like today, we find people use text all the time. Now, why don't we call on the telephone? Why don't we call on the telephone? But you know, you don't know where the other person is up to. The other person may be driving their car, they may be in the middle of a meeting, they may be in the middle of something, another important thing. If you're going to call them, you may be interfering, and they may not be able to take the phone call, or they don't want to be rude. You send the person a text, basically, he'll text you back when he gets a chance. So the same thing in the olden days, before texting, writing served the same purpose. I mean, you can't just go over to someone and start taking up their time or say. And we know there's nothing like getting a good note. Here the Rebbe wants to say a thank you. I'm going to ask you, why when somebody gives you a gift, they will write a nice card? So you're saying, why do you write a card? Yeah. Why don't you just tell them, happy birthday, and give them the $500, but you don't do that. You write a nice card.
Well, we don't know what the letter was. They may have just...
Here's a letter. This is a letter.
A question, right?
No. And here the Rebbe was actually encouraging him, thanking him for all these involvements.
Well, we don't know if even he sent them a letter.
It doesn't actually, no. Actually, it's almost clearly that he did not send the Rebbe a letter. Over here, it seems like the Rebbe opens up. Again, I'm not sure. You know, I got to just assume from what I see. The Rebbe opens up. I'm looking in your occupation, what you're doing. And the Rebbe is saying, I'm very delighted. The Rebbe is giving him his blessing on his own.
So is the Rebbe giving him a blessing of good health because he's involved in the mitzvahs?
Not because, but the Rebbe's telling him that your involvement in the mitzvahs is a proper vehicle in order to receive Hashem's blessings. Right. If he didn't do it, Hashem would give him the blessing anyways. But I'm saying, but it gives him, it's like they say, a blessing of the Rebbe is like rain. You know, we got plenty of rain outside now, right? So in order to grow, you need rain. But what happens if you don't plow the ground, and you don't sow the ground, and you don't work it? The rain is going to just bounce off. It's not going to do. The Rebbe's blessing is like rain. So it will rain. But then you got to do something about it to have that rain make it grow.
But I'm just thinking about people who are involved with mitzvahs, like my son or your son, and then they get sick. That's what it
Well, I mean, Baruch Hashem, we shouldn't know any sicknesses. They should be.
Maybe they'll get better.
They should be. There's nothing to talk. Thank God, you know. These are small incidents, you know. So they get sick is not a.
This guy was originally. His family must have been original followers of the Rebbe because. The name signifies they come from
White
Russia.
Yeah.
They come from Belarus.
I'm not
sure. From the capital, one of the capitals. Did you know that?
No,
that's where the name Gordon originates from.
Yeah, but like I was saying, the Rebbe gave blessings to everybody, and he tried to help everybody. But if somebody made the proper vessels, then the Rebbe's blessing would have where to rest.
Babbage was in Belarus.
Mm. And then the Rebbe finishes up that may Hashem bless you together with your wife with good health and sustenance in a easy and a relaxed way. You have a lot of Yiddish and Hasidish and Nachas from all of your descendants with the blessings of a kosher and healthy and a happy holiday constantly all the days. Now several of his children were very distinguished people in Chabad today. You know, there was Gordon, one of his sons' name was Nissen Gordon, and he was a writer, beautiful writer in Yiddish. He wrote in Yiddish in another language, and he was very smart, and he used to write in the Jewish paper. I used to read him all the time. And he also, his son was also like a host in the radio, used to host in New York, used to host a Jewish radio station, used to host, and they were a very distinguished family in the Gordon. There is a grandson of his who is like a, he's in the valley in California. He's one of the teachers over there, and he like teaches all the Chumash and other things. They have him online. They have him online a lot. I'm sorry?
Silicon Valley.
Yeah. So there's a lot of descendants over there. I mean, he's a very... I remember him, but I remember he was an older man already, and he used to walk with a stick. And sometimes he would give the kids like a little with the stick, like a little kitzel with the stick. And we misbehaved, you know. Or then one of the things we used to do is as kids, so when they have a chassan get an aliyah before his wedding, ofruf, we're gonna have one this Shabbos over here. So when you give the ofruf, so they throw candy. So the kids would get up on the bima and try to grab the bags that they were throwing with the candy. So he didn't have so much patience for the kids, you know, because they disrupted the, we would see jumping on the candies, on the bags. So this was a little, that was some of my memories with them. So they say this, we used to have this joke about, so he was the gabbai, this Rabbi Yochanan Gordon, he was the gabbai. And then he had another guy who worked as the shamus. And what was the shamus's job? He didn't have too much of a job. What was the job? The job in those days, we didn't have towel papers to throw out. We used to have these big towels on a ring,
Towels. Yeah, and you pull them.
And then you go in circles.
Once they used them up,
they used to get so soaking.
And then they would dry.
They had those. Actually, used to pull those white ones that used to pull them out from a thing. You know, they have various different kinds.
There's a roll. They used to go round and around.
So they used to have, but you know, some 70 was a lot of people, so it didn't take much. You know, they washed their hands, and by the time they finished the towel, so it was the gabbai's job. I mean, to see that the shamus, he was in charge, like of the shul, and he was supposed to see that the shamus does his job. And the shamus was another, you know, Hasidic, small little yidol. His name was Hasidic Yid. He passed away. He lived a long life, but. His name was Abba Pliskin. He was more bigger chassid than a shamus. You know, he was, so the towels were always wet, and the people would come to the gabbai and say to the gabbai, why don't you, he says, I tell the shamus to change it. But he doesn't do it. So the people would say to the gabbai, they would say to Rabbi Yochanan Gordon, why don't you fire him? You know, he said, fire, get another then. He says, you know what, I want to fire him. He says, but I never see him to fire him. He's never around.